morning. Perhaps it is a little past due to be saying Happy New Year, but I do hope the rest of the year will bring much victory and peace to each one. I'm indeed happy to be coming your way once again, and it is because of the favor of God. As we face the days ahead with all their uncertainties, let us do so with the assurance that Abraham had. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. Hebrews 11:8. Life is like that. Here Abraham is a symbol of what happens to so many folks. Especially is this true of the youth of our day. The time was when a boy or girl could make some plans for their lives ahead and possibly be able to carry them out. But today things are so different and so uncertain. Who knows whether one will be able to carry out their plans for tomorrow? The future is like a blank wall. But since the circumstances without are so uncertain, there is all the more reason why we should hold the right spirit within. So let me especially stress four things which we would do well to keep at all times. First, courage. Never be faint-hearted, but press against the wrong with courage. So long as we have that, we are unconquered. When we lose it, we're lost. Hope and courage go hand in hand. Hebrews 6:19 says it this way. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So when you're storm-tossed and courage begins to fail, cast out the anchor hope, which will secure you to the invisible God of hope. Secondly, honor. In a time when morals are being cast aside, virtue is being dragged in the dust of the street, God is looking for followers who have a sense of right and wrong, with loyalty in their relations. Excuses are offered, and sometimes a statement is heard, everybody else is doing it. Dear ones, keep your honor and let all things be done on this high plane. You will not be sorry. Thirdly, cheerfulness. The bright side of things is as much a fact as the dark. So often, the difference between failure and success depends largely on which fact we dwell upon. Keep looking on the bright side, and if the clouds come, also remember, the sun is shining just behind the cloud, and the cloud will pass away as we keep pressing onward. The fourth need is faith. With it, Abraham faced the unknown and went through. As a pilgrim and stranger, he wandered in Chaldea in Egypt. He was involved in unexpected trials. He followed the compass, the leadings of God. His white tent shook in the wind and shone in the sunlight, now here, now there, but he was never hopeless. He kept pressing onward, believing the promises of God. Faith will take our lives out of our weak and fearful control and put them in the hands of our all-powerful Heavenly Father. And so, with courage, we too can be conquerors. With honor that nothing can stain. With cheer that nothing can quench. And with faith that we are always in our Father's hands. As we look into the new year, not knowing the dangers which there await us, let us do so with the firm assurance that God makes no mistakes. The Apostle Paul said it this way, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:13-14. Emphasis was placed on the present and the future. Yesterday, for better or worse, is gone. What of today and tomorrow? Let the past sink into the background. Place tomorrow with its hope, its opportunities, its possibilities in the foreground. We will do well to forget old failures, except to glean from them the strength to fortify us against such failures again. We will do well to forget old griefs. It has been stated that incurable sorrow is a coddled sorrow. In other words, the sorrow which is cultivated and nurtured remains with us longer. What shall the year bring? Only God knows. It may be much like other years for us, or it may bring calamity. There will be in it, doubtless, both joy and grief. Clouds? Likely. But clouds, before they vanish, may help to bring the rainbows of hope and victory. Rainbows are impossible without them. I like the way the noted songwriter John Newton put it when he wrote, "The Lord will provide. Though troubles assail and dangers affright, though friends should all fail and foes all unite, yet one thing secures us, whatever betide. This scripture assures us, the Lord will provide. The birds without barn or storehouse are fed. From them let us learn to trust for our bread. His saints, what is fitting, shall ne'er be denied. So long as 'tis written, the Lord will provide. His call we obey, like Abram of old, not knowing our way, but faith makes us bold. For though we're strangers, we have a sure guide, and trust in all dangers, the Lord will provide. When Satan appears to shut up our path and fills us with fears, we triumph by faith. He cannot take from us, though oft he has tried, this heart-cheering promise, the Lord will provide. He tells us we're weak, our faith is in vain, the good that we seek we ne'er shall obtain. But when such suggestions our graces have tried, this answers all questions, the Lord will provide. No strength of our own or goodness we claim, yet since we have known the Savior's great name, in this our strong tower for safety we hide. The Lord is our power, the Lord will provide. When life sinks apace and death is in view, the word of his grace shall comfort us through. Not fearing or doubting, with Christ on our side, we hope to die shouting, the Lord will provide. In speaking of facing the unknown, let us be reminded of the prophet Daniel. Often a dark crisis in human affairs brings with it the burst of light, and someone or something points the way of deliverance. Think of the three tests which Daniel went through. First, there was a test of his discipline over his body and the flesh. He purposed in himself that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Daniel 1:8. Now, this happened in the land of captivity. How unusual, but it really worked. God blessed him, and he was given great wisdom. But he did not follow the way of least resistance. The pressure was great against the flesh. Secondly, Daniel had a test of his mind. He was called upon to interpret the king's dream. The magicians and astrologers could not tell the dream nor show the king the interpretation thereof. Daniel and his mind was put to the test. Now, Daniel did not rely wholly on his mind, but resorted to his friends who believed in prayer, and together they looked to God for the answer. God gave it, and neither Daniel nor the other wise men of Babylon, if we might call them such, were put to death as the king had threatened. In the king's dream, Daniel beheld the kingdoms of the world pass and disappear until at last, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. What a wonderful kingdom. And thirdly, Daniel was put to the test of his spirit and faith. His enemies planned to have him fed to the lions, all because of their jealousy, under the pretense that he called on God in prayer rather than on the king for his help. It is true, Daniel did call on his God, but Daniel was a man who would not swerve either from the right or the left when he was convinced that it was God's will. Listen, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Sure enough, he was thrown into the den of lions, but his God shut their mouths and delivered him. In the struggles of life, it is so easy to become restless. The natural tendency is to flee and...